This is Balancing Perspectives, the podcast for counselors of all levels to build both skills and character to better facilitate growth in yourself and others. I'm Michael Oyster, host of Balancing Perspectives. Today we focus on the skills of analytical psychology. In discussing the role Jungian psychology has in counseling today, many people will have the idea that this approach has complex theory but really few practical skills. Although it is certainly true that Carl Jung's analytic psychology is based on complex theory, there are certainly many tools that are practiced to actually put that theory to use. A brief description of analytic psychology is that conscious behavior, emotions, and thoughts are fueled by unconscious processes, both personal as well as collective unconscious sources. Because conscious behavior is believed to be shaped by unconscious forces, tapping into this unconscious material is important. Unlike Freudian approaches, this unconscious material is not merely unacceptable conscious thoughts and beliefs. Jungian ideas of the unconscious are that it's not just a collection of rejected thoughts and beliefs, but a source of primary ideas, which are only partially expressed through conscious acts, and are often expressed indirectly through one's feelings, intuition, and physical senses. Here's a quick list of skills from analytical psychology, offered in 5 different layers of processes. I'll begin first with those skills that a therapist can use that rest closest to helping a person express their unconscious processes, and then work out to layers further away from that unconscious material. There are a total of 5 categories. The first is working with dreams. The next is active imagination, and then movement expressions. The last two are relationships and the analysis of organized belief systems. Dream work and interpretation is certainly closest to the unconscious because it lacks ego control over the material. Although, certainly there is some ability for dreamers to craft their own dreams and interfere with unconscious expression. Different forms are night dreams, daydreams, and fantasy and repeated imagery. Active imagination is another mainstay of Jungian work. Compared to dreams where the ego is asleep, but the unconscious is not, active imagination consciously reduces the ego's control in order for the unconscious to express itself. There are 4 basic types of active imagination, though there could be more. Meditation through following imagery of dreams and situations where a dialogue is imagined between different characteristics within or outside of oneself. Journaling, where dialogues are written out instead of imagined in order to have better recall of the interaction. Santre, where figures and objects express a story about dreams or critical situations in one's life. And visual art, through drawing, painting, or sculpture, which are used in the same way as Santre. Movement is another way of consciously reducing the ego's control and allows the unconscious better expression without a running editorial comment from the ego. The 3 basic types are replaying movement during crucial events in a dream, active imagination, or conscious interactions in order to experience the full expression of the situation. Dance, usually freeform and intuitive, to express one's feelings more artistically than automatic or natural movements, and linking thoughts and feelings with natural movement, intuitively expressing particular characteristics of oneself or one's interaction with others. Relationships and dialogue are certainly only under partial control of the ego, and therefore can be a good source of unconscious material, which include listening to content, what is being said, and metacommunication, what is being meant or referred to, in addition to what is being talked about. and listening to the process of interactions in a way to explore how one feels during the discussion, noting other thoughts and feelings that come up during the interchange. Analysis of stories and specific archetypes within mythology, religion, and philosophy is a way to consciously learn about patterns that have repeated themselves throughout time and cultures. Although this is certainly a conscious and therefore ego-based process, finding archetypal patterns of one's dreams or repeated experiences within a long existing system outside of oneself can certainly be life-changing. Through your own study or work with a therapist, you can connect your own experiences with that of archetypal ones by studying one's own unconscious expressions, learning about one's own culture, identifying multicultural similarities and differences, and learning the natural world's expressions of a particular archetype. So, there are the five categories of Jungian approaches to expressing one's unconscious material. Again, they are dream work, active imagination, movement, relationship interactions, and learning about systems of organized belief. So, those are the basics of analytical psychology's skill set. Just as interesting as those skills are what I haven't listed as methods. Jungian ideas and methods have been used to promote ideas that are not actually Jungian at all. Let me list just a few of these Jungian spin-offs and offer why I think these interventions are not actually analytical in their process. Hypnosis is not a Jungian approach to unconscious material. The reason is because ideas or feelings are being superimposed onto the unconscious, which is an attempt to increase control over unconscious processes, not actually suspending the ego control to listen to unconscious material. The idea of channeling ancient personalities to give wisdom to other people today is not a Jungian method. In contrast to active imagination, channeling is thought to be connecting to and expressing the wisdom of some historical figure literally. Active imagination, though, taps into one's own archetypal processes, so at most this would be an ancient archetypal figure inside of one's own personality, not actually expressing another person from another time. In the same way, tapping into one's previous reincarnated experience you yourself may have had in that other lifetime is also not Jungian. A principle of Jungian active imagination is that all expressions are centered out of your own personality and are symbolic in nature. This symbolism is what allows us to connect our own experiences with that of larger systems. Connecting our experiences literally with other people and times would constitute materialism at best, or at the worst what James Hollis calls idolatry, which I can explore in future podcasts. A popular idea now is influencing what happens to us through positive expectation, which many believe is tapping into the collective unconscious and controlling how it influences you personally, as well as the world around you. Although certainly an interesting concept, it's not Jungian. By now, you could probably guess that this level of inflating the ego to think it has control over the collective unconscious would not be an analytical process. Analytic approaches promote expression of unconscious material and suspending the ego. That being said, not everything in one's unconscious or even the collective unconscious is good and promotes your growth. In future podcasts, I'll explore how to tell the difference between scary and difficult unconscious material that needs expression and destructive influences that require containment. Another skill you haven't heard to be Jungian is teaching clients specific skills for coping and communicating. Although direct education is done sometimes when there is the need, what is more important for an analytical approach is to promote listening to unconscious expression, not to suppress them further through ego control. In summary, analytical psychology promotes skills that help clients listen more deeply to themselves. The function of Jungian ideas is to connect us to a more spiritual aspect to our personalities, something that modern life has attempted to diminish or even extinguish. Jung promoted that the psyche is not just a logical set of beliefs that we consciously impose on ourselves, but that the psyche also requires a spiritual sensitivity to help form our sense of meaning. Allow me to use prayer as an example. Some people would want to explore how to pray to get what you want. While at its core, I would offer that prayer is more about listening instead of trying to force one's small will onto a much larger being. Although unconscious processes are not literally the divine, we certainly experience it as being substantially larger than the ego, and our best response to this situation is to listen carefully to what is being expressed and discover hints at what might be needed in our way of being in the world. Thank you for listening to Balancing Perspectives. Please send an email to balancingperspectives@gmail.com and tell me your thoughts of today's topic. Or visit my website, balancingperspectives.podbean.com, to learn more about how to facilitate growth in yourself and others. Hope to meet you at the next edition of Balancing Perspectives.